the Lord. I love the Lord. He means more to me than the riches of this world. He is my guide, my shield and my sword. Because he first loved me, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. He means more to me than the riches of this world. He is my God, my shield and my sword.
Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. I just can't praise him enough. I just can't thank him enough. I just can't tell him how much he means to me. He took my feet from the miry clay, placed them on a rock to stay, and I just can't praise him enough for what he's done for me. I just can't praise him enough. I just can't thank him enough. I just can't tell him how much he means to me. He took my feet from the miry clay, placed them on a rock to stay, and I just can't praise him enough for what he's done for me. I just can't praise him enough. I just
so thankful. The connotation to me when we sing that line, "You took my feet from the miry clay," I think of, I assume whoever wrote that was thinking of being brought out of the world and that sort of thing. And so, you know, at first thought, especially when I was younger, you know, that didn't mean a lot to me. I never really came from that kind of background. In fact, I remember telling Brother Leninger one time, he was up teaching, he says, "You just need to go out and kiss the world goodbye." And so I told him after church, I said, "Bye, brothers." Brother Leninger, and he's like, "What?" And I said, "I'm going out and kiss the world goodbye." He said, "I wasn't talking to you." "You never kissed a hello, you don't need to tell a goodbye." But he did one day. I mean, sometimes you can be on the rock and not know it. Did you know that? And I'm thankful. I know there's people that, you know, that are born in the body and or been around it most of their life and never really truly get a vision and eventually do fall away, because at some point, you know, you talk about the seed that falls on stony ground or whatever. It might seem like it's going to grow for a while, but something comes along, you know. And I just want to be thankful tonight that at some point, somewhere along the way, so far, that hasn't happened, that something has gotten rooted in there deep enough that so far, nothing that's come along has been able to shake that vision enough. Not that I haven't shaken. I'm not going to, you know, make foolish claims here. I'm human, and yeah, I can be shaken, but so far, thankfully, the foundation that I have has held. That rock has held. It hasn't crumbled. I've been able to stay on that, and I'm thankful for that. And I can't praise him enough. I can't thank him enough for that. That is his mercy that I don't deserve at all. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I'm still a part of his people and what he's doing. I'm just really, really thankful. I can't praise him enough. I can't praise him enough. You know, these last few days, I can't explain what all's got. I'm probably going to get this all muddled up. But, you know, I've been thinking about how we know that when things go wrong, we should seek God. The Bible even says, you know, in times of adversity, consider. But probably the biggest majority, percentage of people will do exactly that. Even if you haven't dedicated your life to serving God, most people in our country anyway are conscious of him enough that when things get bad enough, you'll cry out to God, unless you're just really hard-hearted. You know, people will, and oftentimes many of them, once it all gets better, then that's it. Okay, good. You know, go about my business. So I think that's a pretty fairly common frame of mind, to seek him when things are going bad. Then maybe a smaller amount of people are wise enough, conscious enough, that when things smooth out and they get better, then they'll praise him and at least give him some credit, thank him, you know, and that sort of thing. But then I thought, there's two other sides that I don't think about that often, and that is when things are going wrong, to praise him. The opposite of that. You know, most people think seek him, get humble, beg, you know, help me kind of thing. But I feel like, you know, a lot of times, you know, God's telling me, are you still going to praise me? You know, that's harder to do. That's harder to do. But I think even, you know, when you've been around a while and you begin to realize that that is expected and you learn to go ahead and praise him anyway. But then I thought, one that I don't think about so much, but it's also true that we need to do, that I need to do, is when things are going good, seek him. We don't tend to think about that. We don't tend to realize that we still need to be humble and we still need to be seeking him when things are going good. You know, we're just thinking praise, yes, you know, at least I, you know, tend to. But I need to remember still where I am. And just because things are going good right now or whenever doesn't mean that I'm not still in need of help. That, okay, blessings are on my life, so I must be doing good. You know, I got this, you know. Which we tend to think, you know, and we can praise God for that, but maybe I still need to be seeking him. Maybe I still need to be knocking. Maybe I still need to be getting down on my knees and humbling and, you know, and thinking, yeah, it's going good right now, but that's just his mercy. You know, it's not because I deserve it or I did so good or, you know, whatever, but that's just his mercy. And Lord, don't let me lose sight, you know, of what I really deserve. And I don't know, that's just for whatever that's worth, which isn't much, but yeah, that's what's on my heart, you know, is just to keep praising him and seeking him. I need to keep doing both of those things, good times or bad, whatever. I want to keep seeking, because whatever I have from it, not seeking the blessings, you know, give me this, give me that. There's an old song that was out there like that, you know, just always gimme, gimme. But more of him to get closer, so that the next round that comes bad that comes around, maybe I won't fall quite so far. Maybe I won't get quite so down, you know. Maybe I won't have to seek quite so hard, because I will have stayed close enough to him when it was good. I don't know if that's making sense, but anyway, there you go. That's my heart. I'm thankful to be here, and thankful that he has kept me this far.
I guess because I'm a song, I do lead songs, but when somebody's up testifying, it's like a song will always come to me or something. But I appreciate your testimony, Lynette. I really appreciate it. And I thought of that song, which is, and I said, this is what I want to be like. It's, oh, the world can't take away what the Lord has given to me. It's been tried by the fire. It's been shook like a tree. But all day long, you can sing a song while you're going through your trial. If need be, if need be. And that's how I want to be. I want to be, woo, glory. But I appreciate that testimony. All my heart was just going 9 miles. I thought of that song. I want to be tried by the fire and shook like a tree and being able to sing a song and praise him. And I appreciate that testimony.
Glory, glory, glory.
Thanks. Brother Smith was talking about it. You know, we would get tired of beef snakes if we ate them every meal. After a while, we'd want, you know, something that would pertain to our right now. I don't know what you would call that. That might be beef steaks. I don't know. But I'm telling you, you know, when a man could get up, and Brother Smith is doing it, he's yielding his mind over to God to the degree that he can feed us.
Brother Smith, I'm not going to be up that long.
That's a requirement.
Oh, you just go to church like the rest of us do.
Yeah,
well, yeah, we're eating beef steaks. We're living on milk and honey and beef steaks. You know, any time that a man can get up and just go into God's Word and go deep. I mean deep. Give you something you can think about all week long. Oh, you know, he was talking, Brother Smith made a comment today, of what we eat. We don't want to partake of the world anymore. We kiss the world goodbye, Sister Lynette. Oh, are you tired of me talking to him downstairs, are you? Oh. Can y'all hear me now? Okay. Could y'all hear me before? You couldn't. Only the people downstairs. give me a second here. My brain ain't working right or something. Yeah, Brother Smith made a comment. We can't feed on the world. Because that's not the kind of food we want. That's, you know, huh? Right. If we eat of the world, it'll bring the results of eating, partaking of that. But we come in here and we partake of what Brother Smith gave us today. And you know, people may think that we're in a off in the world by ourselves, you know, but we're not off in the world by ourselves. We're well aware of what's going on around us. But there is something deeper, and it feels good to be able to eat of something. You know, you turn on the radio. Matter of fact, Brother Smith was telling us today what the sea was and what the earth was and the trees. And we can turn on the radio and we can hear what the earth has to say. And there are good things there. There are people out there that are sincere hearted. And we can partake of that to a degree. We have to make sure that we're, you know, a clean animal in the Old Testament was one that divided the hoof. So when we partake of that, we got to remember to divide the hoof. You know, divide the good from the bad. And some people will say you're judging. You know, to say that these people out here are not on the level we're on. And who do we think we are? You know, that we're on a level that we're on. But Brother Smith, I really enjoyed what we heard today. To me, Brother Tucker used to talk, I think he said something about hanging a sign out in the foyer, School of Theology or something like that. Didn't he hang one out there over the door that came into the sanctuary? Yeah. He said, we're in the School of Theology here. We are on a level, a college level. You know, these people are called to do what they're doing out here. Anthony and I was talking about that earlier today. And we can't run these people down from doing what God's called them to do. It's just that he's called us to go a little bit higher. We're to be leaders. That's what Brother Smith said. We're called to be rulers and reigners. You know, people that rule and reign with Christ. That is something. How was it you heard that, Brother Smith, you couldn't wrap your mind around that today? What a calling. What a calling. And I know I'm just human. But I'm called like that? That's unreal. That's unreal. And Sister Lynette, you talk about calling out to God even in our good times. That's the truth. I say, you know, I feel like saying, I feel funny even asking God for anything because he's given me so much. But, you know, when you get through praising him and thanking him, then you say, Lord, that call you've given me. Now that Brother Smith shared that with us today, we shouldn't have already known that, but that call that you gave me, Lord, I'd like to measure up to that. And you know, people will look at us funny. You know, because we're in a position. Even now, we're in a position. We're trying to be in a position that God's called us for. We're trying to fulfill that position. I was sharing a story with Brother McGill and Sister McGill yesterday about a fellow that I just casually mentioned Christ. And this guy, I think he was afraid. I'm not going to tell the whole story in. But he thought I was fixing to start witnessing to him, evidently. And he said, let me tell you something, preacher. And all I did was mention God. That's all I did. And all of a sudden, I was a preacher. But that's the way the world's going to look at us. But, you know, you got to remember, when the world's going one way, and we're going the other way, even if we have a little bitty light, I don't know how many of y'all ever been in a cave when they turned out the lights. It is some kind of dark in there. You know, you put your hand in front of your face, and you can't see it. That's the kind of world we live in. And I'm not judging by saying that. But that's the kind of world we live in. It's going to get darker and darker. To the point, here we are. We're trying to walk in that position that God's given us. Trying to give us. Yeah. We're trying to walk in that position. And people, even when we walk in a room, we don't even have to say anything. And people be calling us preacher. You must be a preacher. And you ain't even said anything. But, you know, if God's called us to be a light, what can you say? You might as well do what you're called to do. You might as well be a light. You might as well walk in the light. He's trying to show us that sevenfold light. Brother Smith made mention of that today. And he was talking about those seals. What is that story? Okay, I'm going to try to say this story. I think it was a parable Jesus gave. Y'all help me if I'm getting this wrong. But he was talking about the book that had the seals on it. And he handed it to a man. He said, "Read this book." And the man said, "I can't because it's sealed." Okay, I think. I haven't read my Bible enough. I can pretty well tell that already. But then, I think that one's right. But he handed it to the other man. He said, "Read this book." He said, "I can't because I'm unlearned." And Brother Smith was telling us today that those seals represented knowledge. Now, you tell me if I'm wrong again. I was just thinking this today. But the man that was unlearned, I've always thought that that man was unlearned. He couldn't read. And that's why he didn't read the book. And I could be missing it right here. But Brother Smith plain said today, it was those seals were knowledge. And the man that was unlearned, it could have been possible he didn't have that knowledge. I'm just guessing. That's just a theory. That's just a theory. And he could have been, he couldn't read. But he didn't have the knowledge. And that's what Brother Smith was telling us today. And I asked him, Brother Smith, after church, I said, "Brother Smith, are you telling me if we don't have that knowledge of those seals, we can't open the book?" And he was telling me, "Yeah, Brother Paul, that's right. We've got to have that knowledge." Now, you think about that, okay, and I'm not running anybody down, but you take anybody that don't have that knowledge of those seven seals. They can open a Bible.
Which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, "Read this, I pray thee," and he saith, "I cannot, for it is sealed." Is that what you're talking about? It's Isaiah 29:11.
Okay. Anyway, but we've got to have that knowledge. And Brother Smith told us sometime back, he said, okay, I'm trying to remember. It seems like the longer I'm here, all these things are running together. If we don't have the history of how the church went into the wilderness, it fell away, and it went through, he went through the horses today. Went through the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the pale horse, and then the children, the people under the altar, and then the collapse of our country, our great country, and then the seventh seal went over the six seals. You take people that don't have that information. And I'm not running them down. There's God's people out there. I'm not running them down. But if they don't have that knowledge, they can open a Bible, but can they really feed you out of that book? That's the question one has to ask. And I'm not trying to judge anybody. Sister Holly and I visited several churches before we came back to our church here. Met a lot of good people. Super, super good people. And you can tell by watching these people. They're trying their best to do everything they know. But if they don't have the knowledge of those seals, there you go. What are we going to, And I'm not saying they're lost. I'm just saying that's what God's called us for. To be rulers and people that reign with Him. And I can see that more and more. We've got to get the knowledge. I think Brother Lineker called that the what? The knowledge. I think I've heard Brother Smith say that. And then he's talking about today the understanding. That's the why. The why. We got to know why it's like that. And then with God's help, we can get the how, which is the wisdom, to share it with other people. I don't have it. I want God to help me with it. I want to be able to walk in that position. Anyway, I didn't mean to drag you folks down. I'm just trying to think. But Brother Smith, when I left church today, I was so tired. So tired. It was because I was trying to keep up with you, Brother Smith. I don't know how. Was you not tired after? I mean, was you? I was trying to keep up, man. I was wore out. I mean, but I'm telling you, I appreciate God giving us. He's given us wonderful things here. Just absolutely wonderful things. I appreciate what God's given us here.
It's interesting to me that Jesus wrote about himself on earth before he came. That's interesting to me that he had some understanding of what he'd go through. And of course, I'm sure from the place he was sitting, you know, looking down at the conditions of men, and knowing that he was going to come here, that he saw, you know, what he would entail to a certain extent. I was thinking while Sister Lynette was testifying about the 40th chapter of Psalms, I thought I might just read a little bit of it. It's a psalm of David that he wrote to his chief musician. I guess he wanted him to put it, you know, write a tune to it or something, I guess. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, this is Jesus talking when he's on the earth, but he put this in the mouth of the prophet David before he ever left heaven. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, Jesus waiting on his Father, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on a rock and established my goings. He knew when he got here he would be raised up in Judaism. You know, the pit is a bottomless pit. It's a religious place or element without a foundation. He saw that was a horrible pit to be bound up in religion. And he saw the condition that his people was going to be in when he came. And out of the miry clay, they had a measure of God. You know, when you take flesh, earth, and mix it with water or the Spirit of God, you get clay or marshy places. You know, Ezekiel, wasn't it Ezekiel that you know, he started wading out into the marshy places, and then he got up to water up to his knees and into his thighs, and then finally he found water to swim in. He finally got up to his neck, and he finally, which was a picture of the Spirit of God becoming more and more available when Jesus came, that you could get out of the miry clay or out of the marshy places. But then he said, he set my feet on a rock and established my goings. That he knew that if he would follow God's leading when he got here, that he would get established. And there would be a foundation under him that would be solid. He said, he put a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works that thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, God. And thy law is within my heart. I've preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Oh, please, oh, Lord. I mean, be pleased, oh, Lord, to deliver me. Oh, Lord, make haste to help me. Let me be ashamed and confounded together that seek after them. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for the reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer, my tearing, oh my God. You can just hear Jesus in that and all he went through, you know. And this was written about him, of course, in the book of Hebrews. The writer quotes this, you know, that a body thou hast prepared me. Lo, it's written in the book that a sacrifice, you know, that he was to be a sacrifice. He realized God was asking him to give himself for the world. And so, but one of the amazing things to me is that when he was in heaven, he foresaw all this happening. I can see how he could see it, because I can see looking at us, if, you know, what you're going to, some of what we're going to go through and the conditions of man. But don't you know that helped him when he read those scriptures? He helped pay the way for himself a little bit. He was wise enough to do that. When he's here on the earth, he had those scriptures to realize, I can trust my Father. I can praise him no matter what kind of condition I get in. I can seek him and trust him. And he realized that I'm really nothing. Here on the earth as a man without God, I'm without help. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a God. Hallelujah.
What a day. The good things that we've heard and felt. I think, my Lord, what a great calling that we have in our lives. And then when we realize that God is the one that put that calling in our lives in the first place, and we also recognize that we're we're not going to do this. We're not doing it. You know, we can see that God requires a perfect overcomer to be a part of the bride of Christ. And we can see where we've come from, and we can realize that we've not made that level yet in our lives. But, you know, if it hadn't been for God, we wouldn't be where we're at tonight. We wouldn't be here tonight. And if God, being the wise Father that He is, can take Jesus Christ through what He took Him through, don't you know that He can do the same thing for you and I? You know, God has got... let me kind of back up and ask you this question, I guess. You got some particular job that you want done. Say you want a real nice cabinet built. You know, and you know that I've worked with wood through the years. I've, you know, helped frame houses. Would you rather have me to build your cabinet or Brother Boyd? You know, who would you rather have to build the cabinet? I mean, you want it to be nice. I can tell you who I would choose. I'd choose Brother Boyd. That man has the experience of building a cabinet. Now, when it comes to just framework, I can do that for you. But when it comes to that finish work, that really nice-looking finish work, that man's got the experience. He can do that type of work. And I'll tell you up front, I might be able to do it, but I'm not. I don't have the experience that he has. God, you know, we can look at this from this standpoint. God has the experience. God, you know, we don't have to worry about whether he's qualified or not. He has the experience. And that's what I consider, I guess, as much as anything, is that if I'll put my trust in him, he can pull me right on through this. I believe that, Brother Smith. And I so appreciated the message that we got today. I thought as we, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it. And I don't know if Brother Smith can tell the difference or not, but I was standing with him. I wasn't doing the talking, but I was standing with him. I wanted to hear what he had to say. And, you know, it's a strange thing when you can get a minister up talking and you can get up with him and he feels that. He feels you standing with him. Don't you realize, folks, that we may be just sitting here and kind of clucking along. I'm using some farm type statements here, terminology. We're just kind of clucking along. We're not really running any foot races. But this world is not going to stay the same. It's going to go through some changes. Drastic changes. When this country falls, you know, we use that term, but it's hard for us to mentally conceive in our minds what a fall this country is going to go through and what kind of changes it's going to bring about. It's hard for our minds to grasp that. But Brother Smith made the statement today that look, people out here in the world, in the religious world, they have confidence in those systems that's been set up by mankind. People that are on Social Security, like myself to some degree, we have some confidence in the Social Security system. If you're drawing any kind of paycheck from a company, you have certain confidence in that company that you're working for. But if this country falls like we know it's going to,
Everything that mankind has set up is going to go down, and our confidence is not going to be in those things anymore. And the reason it isn't, because you're not going to get a paycheck from them. There won't be one. What are you going to do? Where are you going to turn? But I don't know if you really heard what he said or not. He made this, Brother Smith made this statement today that almost sounded like something that was slipped in, and then he went on back to his original thought. He said, there's a light in the land of Goshen. There's a light in the land of Goshen. The people of God are going to shine brighter than they've ever dreamed possible. My Lord, you know, we look at each other and we think of each other along this line sometimes that I wished I could call names and get by with it, but I don't really want to. I'd be afraid of hurting somebody's feelings, and I don't want to do that. But we look at people and we look at them as just common, not too exciting, even dull sometimes, individuals. But as Brother Paul Davis was saying a while ago, a little bitty light in a real dark room is something to look forward to. Let me go a little further than that. There's not a one of you sitting here tonight that's just a little bitty light in a real dark room. Brother Daniels, I know you feel kind of like I do, a little old and worn. I feel real worn tonight. But what I'm trying to point out is this, folks. Look, there's things that's being planted in your heart and in your life, and we're not shining bright today. But when this world gets dark, there ain't no way you're going to be hid. They're going to spot you a mile away. In fact, they're going to spot you a lot further than that. But this world is headed for some real, real darkness. We can see the darkness now. They can't. They can't see it. And if we were still out there, we wouldn't be able to see it either. I thought here a while ago was singing that song, He Lifted Me Out of the Miry Clay. Some of us that have been born here, and I'm thankful for your testimony, but when you sing that song, you have to think in terms of, you know, dirt or clay or some parts of the county I live in over here. They have some ground that they call gumbo. Now, if you've ever been out in clay, wet clay, you know that clay, it gets slick if it's just got a little water on it. If it gets real muddy, you know, if it's got a lot of water on it, it just soaks up so far. You wade into it, and it kind of sticks to you. Gumbo, you know, if you wade across muddy gumbo, it crawls up your legs. You know, the more you walk in it, the deeper it gets. And you can't kick it off. I mean, you know, you can kick your leg real hard and you think, well, this junk will come off. But it don't come off. It just, you know, just you keep walking, it just keeps coming on up your legs. And if it dries, it stays. It, you know. It's kind of like glue. It just sticks with you. You know, my father got a tractor that we had a tricycle front end on it. And he got that thing stuck in gumbo one time. And in between the front tires, which is, you know, just a small width, there was some of that mud stayed in there. It dried. And about 4 or 5 years later, I took it out. Because I got tired of looking at that mud stuck in between them tires. You know, it wasn't mud, just a cake of dirt. I used a hammer and a chisel to get it out. You know? So when I think of the miry clay, I kind of have a tendency to go to that gumbo. But it'll stick with you. But look, there's things being planted in our hearts and lives that's so real, that's so dynamic until, and you can't hide it. We can't hide it. And we can't hide with it. But this world, their confidence is going to be shattered. The only thing that they'll have to look for and to look forward to, they're going to cry out, God, where are you? Where are you at? And there's going to be a light setting up on the hillside. My Lord. And people are going to run toward the light, I can tell you that. You know, if you're in a dark room and somebody lights a candle, are you going to sit over in the dark by yourself? I'm not. I'm going to go to the candlelight. Somebody said, yeah, but it's just a little bitty candle. Oh, no. That thing's giving off a lot of light. And the longer we sit here and the more that we hear messages like we've heard here today, and the more of the anointing that we feel that comes in those messages, don't you know that our light's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter? Hallelujah. It's not going to be just a little bit of candlelight. It's going to be one of the most powerful flashlights you've ever seen in your life. Woo! Hallelujah. God is raising up a people. I'm not doing it. Brother Smith's not doing it. But God is raising up a people. Hallelujah. There's going to be a light that's setting on the hillside. When this world crumbles down, we'll be here. We'll be here. I thought here today as Brother Smith was talking, you know, he said that my lifespan may not reach out here to the fulfillment of the church. But he said, put a sticker on my casket. You know, I've really overdone myself the last week, 2 weeks really. Been up before daylight every morning and after way after dark every night. And I've determined that I'm too old for that kind of working. I've done determined that, Brother Smith. I'm sorry. I can't do it anymore. I've done it for the last 2 weeks, but I'm tired. I'm give out. My body's tired. My wife was chewing on me this morning. I know you folks think she's a loving, caring, wonderful wife. Spent over 50 years with me. And she fulfills all those statements. But, you know, after a while, it dawned on me. I told her, I said, sweetheart, I said, really what I'm looking for is comfort. I'm looking for a little comfort, you know. Not so much of this, all this here stuff, and you know about chewing on me. I said, I'd like for you to, I said, do I need to go to the store and buy some Southern? She said, are you saying that I might be one of Job's comforters? I said, well, you know, I didn't say that you're one of them, but I said, you might rank up there with them, you know. But anyway, I appreciate the concern. But God is interested in all of us. And you're His child. You're His child. You're God's child. I don't care who you are, how old you are, how small you are. If God's dealt with your life, you're His child tonight. You're a part of His great kingdom. And God is interested in you. Woo! Hallelujah. I met a lady about 3 weeks ago that has a lot in common with some of the folks sitting right here in this church. She's a cancer patient. And she's one of the survivors. I said, I know a lady that I'd like for you to meet. Then I found out that she's an attorney. But did you know we need good attorneys in this church? Hey, amen. We need some good attorneys in this church. Some people here that are intelligent. I have been praying the last few weeks. I'm not what I would call a smart man. You know, you can tell by the amount of money I got in the bank. Not real intelligent long making money. But I've been praying, Lord, would you touch my mind and touch my life and help me to make some money? I don't want to spend it on myself. I've been a lot of places in this country. I've enjoyed some things that I never thought I'd enjoy. I'd like to make some money to give to our missionary work. I'd like to start building financially and give more money into our missionary work. And it's not just something that I just started praying about, I don't think. I think the Lord has dealt with my mind somewhat in this area because, you know, and I think, we've not given a lot through the years. We've given what we felt like we could afford, and maybe that's not the term I should use. I don't like it like that. In fact, I know there's times that we've given and we couldn't afford it. But the Lord's always stepped up to help. But I've asked the Lord, Lord, you touch my mind, you touch my mentality, and help me to make money to give to our missionary work. Because I think that it's necessary. And Brother Smith told us today, did anybody hear him? We're going to be looking for a place to go one of these days. All I'm doing is investing in my future. You know. And I know that, you know, we live in a good country. But when this thing folds and everybody, when they're chasing you guys and killing you, you know, they're not chasing you because they like you. They're going to be chasing you because they don't like you. And the reason they don't like you is because when you stand up and you begin to tell people about God, tell them how good he's been to you, and that he's got something in store for all humanity, and they begin to come in here by the droves, and you're sucking the money, people that leave a system, they don't leave their billfolds and they don't leave their checkbooks in those systems. Of course, you don't want to do a whole lot of good anyway because there ain't going to be a whole lot of checkbooks and money. But whatever there is, just the people count. You start sucking them into the body of Christ, that's going to leave a big hole out there. And they're not going to like it. They're not going to like it. Get ready, folks. We've got something going on. And God's in it. Hard for us to look around tonight and say, well, God, if you're in it, why ain't there something going on now? There he is. We just can't see it yet. God is doing something today. But he's touched my heart and my mind along these lines. I don't know how much money Brother Smith is talking about he needs just to come up with the amount that you promised. Ain't that the term you used?
Brother Calderon has got a church in Tacoma Home. We own the land and we built it.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. We built, we put up 4 cinder block walls 2 years ago, and it's just been standing that way. We hadn't done any more to it. I hadn't had any more money to do anything to it. But he's got people that, you know, that wants to have church, and he don't have a building for them. So I just told him, I said, Brother Calderon, I'm going to give you $1,500. I said, how much is it going to cost you to put a roof on that building? He said, about $3,000 if I put a concrete roof on it so we can put a two-story on it later, plus a concrete roof will withstand hurricanes where a metal roof will blow off. So they don't like to put on metal roofs over there. So I said, well, just get started on it. When I leave, I'm going to give you $1,500, and I don't know where I'm going to get the rest of it, but I said, I just believe God's going to help us. I said, what's it going to? He said, well, then we got to have floors and windows and doors. I said, how much is that going to cost? He said, probably about another $3,000. I said, well, just get started on the roof, and when we get done with it, I believe God will help us on the floor and the windows and the doors. So I said, let's just start in by faith. That's all I know to do. We've stayed without any faith for too long. So I said, let's just start out and see what happens. So he said, I don't want to start if I don't have enough money to finish it. I said, well, are you going to do what I'm telling you to do, or are you going to do what you want to do? He said, well, I'm going to do what you tell me. I said, then get started on that roof with this $1,500, and we'll get the rest of it. So anyway, so I talked to Brother Green yesterday, and he said, Brother Calderon wants to know if you said for you you want him to go ahead and start. I said, I told him to go ahead and start when I left. And so anyway, I called Brother Green up in Wichita, and I said, how much money's in the mission? You know, they've got a missionary account there that they support us on. And so he told me how much money was in there, so I knew it had $1,500. So I just told him, I said, write him a check and tell him to get started. Of course, I've spent all the money we had and even a little bit more. I don't know if Sister Weininger knows it or not, but I transferred some money out of the operating account into the missions account. So she's short, a lot less than what she thinks she's got less money than she thinks she's got. Anyway, but it will catch up. I just know. I've watched God too many times on this. He just always comes through for us. I'm riding around over there in a 2012 van. Diesel van gets 34 miles a gallon. It'll carry 12 people. Brand new, dual air conditioning. I'm riding around in that last week, and I'm thinking, how in the world did we buy this thing? Where did we get the money? It cost $25,000 cash. I bought it brand new for $25,000. It was a special deal that the government helped on. Where did I get that $25,000? I can't tell you. I don't have a clue how we came up with that. But I know y'all helped on it. I do know that. Y'all helped. Republic helped. And Wichita helped. And I know y'all came up with as much as anybody else did. So, hallelujah. God's helping us, you know. We bought another 12-passenger van after that. And I asked Brother Green. He found this van. He said, Brother Smith, we need this van. We need it for transportation to go out and gather up the saints. There's so many of them that live so far away they can't walk. And I need somebody to go get them. Some of them walk 5 miles to church. Think about that. After church, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, and church is out, walking 5 miles home with your wife and little kids on a dark road where there ain't no lights. People get hit and run over places like that. Ain't no shoulders on the roads, hardly, some of them roads. And he said, I need your help. We need this van. And so I thought about it a few days, and I tried to figure out where to come up with some money and give some money myself. And so I told him, he said, I also can use it for my materials business. You know, I buy material and sell it. And he said, I can, and he said it already has a propane system. See, propane's about $3 a gallon, and gas is $6 a gallon. Propane can get about 15 miles a gallon. Gas get about 20 on this van. So it's still a bargain to run on propane. So I said, Brother Green, if we bought this van, if I could pay for part of it, could you pay like $150 a month payments on it? He said, well, Brother Smith, I'll try. I believe I can. I said, well, I'm not going to tell you where I'm getting the money or who's helping you. Hope he ain't listening because it wasn't nobody but us. But I said, I need you to contribute $150 a month if I buy this van. He never one time been able to come up with $150 in a month. But we bought that van $6,500 cash. How we did that, I don't know. I don't know how we did it. But I just know God. God's interested in what's going on over there.
Oh, yes.
So I'm trying to get y'all some vehicles and places to stay when you get there. I've got two bedrooms in a house over there. I've put air conditioning in both of them. So I've got you an air-conditioned bedroom to stay in, and I've got you two air-conditioned vehicles to ride around in. And Brother Green calls me every month, and he says, Brother Smith, the rent's due. And then he calls me every 2 or 3 months and says the insurance on the van is due. I thought, you can't even buy your own insurance. It's about $100 a month. I don't argue with him. I just pay it. So long as I've got the money, you know, I don't mind helping them because it's like Brother McGowan said, it's amazing when you see people that don't, now you people don't know how to live like this. They go for days and not have two pennies to rub together. Don't know, they're picking mangoes off of trees and picking avocados, knocking coconuts out of trees. You know how they grow wild over there. They just gather that stuff up in a sack, bring it home, make a meal out of it. I don't know how many avocados we ate while I was there. They just get them big old avocados are that big. Brother Green wanted to send one home to me. One of the sisters in church brought me two big green avocados. I guarantee you they're that big. And he said, Brother Smith, you got to take one of these home with you. I said, Brother Green, you can't take that. You can't take vegetables and stuff like that. They won't let you do that. And he said, I took them over there. When I go, I'll take my avocados with me. I said, well, you're not supposed to. I don't want to get stopped in customs, Brother Green. I said, I'll just eat them when I come over here. Well, they fixed me big old bowls full of papaya, sweet papaya, and mangoes, cold, sweet mangoes. And every meal, they just take them big old avocados, slice them out, and just lay out a whole platter. Big old, I'm talking about avocado sleeves that are that long. My word, and just, they don't taste nothing like avocados over here. They're so good and fresh. When I got home and unpacked my clothes, there's a big old avocado stuck in there. He stuck that in my... He made sure, he didn't care what I said. He wanted me to bring that avocado home. I was unpacking my clothes, and when I got about halfway in there, there was a big old green avocado about like that. And a bottle of honey, wild honey, in a bottle that, you know, that had a lid that didn't even fit the bottle, and he had it all wrapped up. It kind of leaked just a little bit, but not much. He had it in a sack, so it didn't get on my clothes. But anyway, the way they live, you know, it's just amazing that they've learned to live that way. You know, a lot of us don't know this today, but there's people in this room that can remember when they was little kids how to live when they didn't have no money. You know, we didn't know. You know, just we didn't have any money. We lived off the land. We lived off the garden. We lived off the chickens that laid the eggs, you know. Yes. Brother Clyde Patton, one time, they said he was driving down the road and they was going to a meeting or something. He run over a squirrel. He hit the brakes. They said, what are you doing? He said, we got to get that squirrel. He's fresh. He said, let's get him. He said, let's get him. He said, they stopped right there and skint that squirrel and quartered him and put him in a sack. He said, Brother Clyde Patton cooked him, had he? They had fried squirrel. Well, he just born that way. He's raised in all, you know, living like that. That's how it is over in the Dominican. They're about 50 years behind our time, except they do have technology and motor scooters. But I can remember when I was a little boy growing up on the farm, when I was poor. I come from a poor family. And I can remember when, you know, we didn't have much. but we lived off of what we could, you know, what we could gather out of the garden or the what we could, you know. Sometimes it got pretty skimpy, but one of the times, you know, when the hog got fat in his hog killing time, we scraped the hog in the wintertime and put him in the smokehouse, and we had food till it run out, and then we worked on something else. We might just had to eat ears of corn, but we had something to eat. That's how they live over there. Anyway, Brother McGowan, let me take up your time. But I'm just telling you, God's blessing us to help that country, and God's building something over there. There's a man over there right now that this man come up under Brother Green's ministry, and he's been hanging around the church for a while. And in the last year, he's really got a vision. God's really dealing with him. This guy was a millionaire, but he don't have no business sense. And he's lost all of his money. God got him flat, dead, you know, broke. He just down on his, you know, lower in a snake's belly, you might say, financially. But he owns a few million dollars worth of land. Beachfront development land that he is involved in. And if he told me, he said, Brother Smith, if I sell this land, I'm gonna give you some money to build a church. He's gonna come into probably several million dollars. I don't know what's gonna happen to him, but I'm asking y'all to pray. Pray for Brother McGowan, but pray for this other guy too. Because he's already got land for sale, and if they sell that land and make that money, he's in Brother Green's church, and he's gonna tithe. He's gonna pay his tithe. He said, "I'm gonna do more than that. I'm not looking to get rich. I want to help the body of Christ." Well, I'm praying God help him, but I also know, you know, I'm not trying to get too excited because I know we got to do God's will. And it's got to be His will. It won't work if it's not His will. If He's not blessing it, it'll be a catastrophe. So I'm just asking God, give us Your will. Lead us into what You want us to be a part of and what You want us to do. And don't let us get our eyes on anything but You, because it won't work. I know that. I've been around this long enough to know we got to have God at the head of this thing. All right. I'm sorry I took up your time.
No problem. Well, I looked around at the crowd today, and I thought, man, what a golden opportunity to take an offering. But I look at this crowd here tonight, and I think, Lord, You've still got the money. It's still here. And I haven't really spoken with Brother Smith concerning it, but what kind of time, Elder, we need on an offering if we give a pledge offering concerning monies for the mission pledge? For how, what's the time element we need?
Well, if I know what's coming in, you know, I'll pay you $20. I know we're going to have to come in.
All right. August, September, October, that's the... Well, I'd like to hope it is, because him dealing with my mind and my heart along these lines, I'd like to receive a missionary offering, pledges. And we'll do it when the bigger crowd's here. We'll give them an opportunity. But while we're here tonight, we'll just start off, see what we can come up with. And I've heard Brother Smith, you know, talking along the lines that, you know, we're actually, what is it you're saying? The scripture says when you give money in missionary work, you're loaning to God. Give it to the poor, that's it. Lend it to the Lord. And even though these people look like they're in pretty good physical shape when they get over here, they don't have money like we have.
Well, Brother Daniel
look like they've got money. I know what it's like. Brother Smith brought back some memories to my life. One time I left here when I was driving trucks several years ago now, I had $4.34 in my pocket. And I was going to be gone about 3 days. And that wasn't enough. I also had my son with me, and he was 7 years old. We was headed to North Carolina, and my wife and my two daughters got on a bus headed for California. And in that trip, I hooked up with some other drivers. We stopped, and it's a little old town at the top of Black Mountain over in North Carolina. I can't think of the name of that little town. But anyway, they bought me coffee and bought him a little drink and a piece of pie. When we got to North Carolina, had an uncle over there, I called him, and he come over and picked us up. And he fed us while we were there, and he took us to the Globetrotters. They were playing there in North Carolina. He bought us tickets, and we wouldn't see the Globetrotters play ball. When I got back home, I still had that $4.34 in my pocket. I thought, God, you're a wonder. And here's what I'm saying to us tonight. I would like to start this offering with a $500 pledge. Is there anybody else that wants to give? How much? Four, five, 500. All right, is anybody writing this down? Sister Inez, are you going to give $500? Brother? Oh, was that 500 or 1500? Pardon, matching mine, so it's 500. All right, is anybody taking this down? Brother Painter had his hand up for 500. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Yes. Okay. Okay. All right. That'd be good. Anyone else? Chance to give to the work in the Dominican Republic. All right, Brother Paul Davids, two. Brother Smith, 500. Anyone else? Brother Zachary, 300. Brother Caleb, 200. Sister Fisher, is that three or two? 300. Anyone else? Golden opportunity to give. This, look at this from a standing brother, Brother Thompson. 100 a month. All right, 100 a month, all right. I think he's a good man myself. Brother. Oh, aren't we thrilled to have him with us. Brother Tally was 200, and Brother Mark. All right. There's another good man. All right, Brother Thompson, I did call off the number that you spoke, didn't I? All right, very good. Anyone else or everybody else? Are we talking 500 a month on all these fives that's coming in? I mean, if you go have faith, you might as well get on board, right? All right, I won't go that far. Anyone else? Raising your hand here. Ladies, Sister Holly's going to give 100. We're not going to just limit this to one lady if someone else wants to speak up here, right? Anyone else? Brother Jerry. Pardon me? 50, all right. Sister June? 200? All right. Sister June Ogden. Pardon me? 300 from, is this 300 from her or 300 from you? Both. All right. Joint account, joint effort. All right, we appreciate it. Anyone else? Anyone else? Is this all right now?
Well, we do need to make it available to our Sunday morning crowd because there's a lot of them that don't make Sunday night service.
Right.
You know, of course, I know it's really, we shouldn't think anything of it, but I know, you know, we start church here about 9:30, 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and it's an all-day affair for most all of us, you know. And I know it's hard sometimes for some people. You got to have a real vision to, you know. It's not like we just have, some churches have two services on Sunday. We really have three when you really put it together, you know. And so I know sometimes it's a little bit discouraging that some people don't come back on Sunday nights, but I don't know what to do about it right now, but I just feel like that it's going to get exciting here before long, and it's going to pick up. Business is going to pick up here after a while.
All right.
So let's just keep shop open for a while and see what the Lord's going to do.
All right. Sister Joyce, you got those numbers? $4,500?
Praise God.
That's not bad for a guy as sloppy as I am. $4,500, 15, 20 minutes, Brother Smith.
You've done pretty good, right. I think. My Lord, that makes me believe we're liable to get another $4,000 or $5,000 next Sunday morning.
Thank God.
Don't sit down. Get up the music and get to passing the pan.
Pass pan.
We may get some of it right now.
All right. What do we got going?
Some of them are telling me they want to give on it right now.
Sister, can somebody tell me who sings the song that has the lyrics in it? I can't even think now. Got me so excited. Had the lyrics in it. God, my mind just went numb. I know, I've had that problem for a long time, having a Sister Watson. Bless her heart. I told her one day that I wasn't going to pick on her no more, but I just have a hard
time
resisting. She's such a beautiful lady. Give us a special number. Sister Weiniger, can you sing that song for us? You know. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for every truth you planted down deep in my heart. All right, thank God.
I guess I'm done.
Thank God. Can you fix me an envelope, brother friend? All right.
For me, I thank you for the way you've led me, oh, so patiently, from chains of sin that bound my soul, you came and tenderly unlocked them all, and now I know at last. Down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. Sometimes I fail to understand the things that are best for me. My feet may stumble and my eyes, Lord, may not always see. Please keep your hand upon my life and always let me be thankful, Lord, for saving my soul and keeping your hand on me. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. Though I should give my life, dear Lord, and suffer for your name, though I should turn aside from wealth and shun all worldly fame, the price I've paid, I know, my Lord, would never be enough to pay the debt I owe to you for such undying love. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you. I thank you, Lord, for every truth you've planted down deep in my heart, for every time your blessings have rained and the glory has flooded my soul, for every trial and each test, dear Lord, you've brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord of you. I thank you, Lord, forever. flooded my soul. For every trial and each test, dear Lord, you brought me through. I've needed them all to make me worthy, my dear Lord, of you.
How many of y'all been to, have y'all seen Bridget yet? Been up to the hospital? I kind of snuck out just right after church today and ran up there to hold her. Yeah. She's a little dandy. I took a picture of her. Brother Painter's got it. Show the other one. There you go. There she is. Them big black eyes. She's got a little pucker that she can turn her lip up at you if you don't look at her just right. And if she's not happy, she can punch out that bottom lip and let you know she's fixing to make noise if you don't do something different. So she does like that. Anyway, I got to hold her. She's a little dandy, I tell you. Praise God. Well, the kingdom of heaven groweth and the men not know how, the brother Durham said. So, we're thankful for every addition to the family of God. And I appreciate all of you all that are laboring with us in the kingdom of heaven. All you brethren and your help, you men that are getting up under the load and shouldering this burden with us, as well as you saints, especially when I'm gone. I appreciated Brother Painter's help while I was gone this time, and he's doing a good job back there in the media booth, but he does need help. I wish y'all would pray God would send us help. We could use Brother Painter more on the platform, but he's dedicated to what he's doing back there till the Lord gives us some more help. We need more help back there, and we need help in the website area. We need more work on the Dominican website to link it. He's got it fixed, but just to work it, you know, you got to have so much time. And I'm praying God will send him help. Because right now I need pictures up of what we're doing over there. I took some videos and pictures while I was gone. I've got to send to him, but it takes time to put all that, get it uploaded and get it situated on the website. And you can even move it over to the Facebook page and get it out some. That's what we need. We need to advertise this. We're in business for the King. We must be about our Father's business. And you've got to get your name out there to get to be known what you're doing. Well, until we start having more miracles and healings, that'll draw a crowd, but till we get that, we're going to have to use some other methods. And so we're asking God to help us in those areas. Anyway, I know we didn't just have any kind of runaway in the spirit, but I tell you, I feel good in my soul today. I feel blessed today. And I tell you, Brother McGowan, I really appreciate what you did and all of y'all that, you know, that God put it on your heart to help us. I almost been ashamed to go to the Dominican Republic and see them four brick walls standing out there in the middle of a field. And, you know, for 2 years there it just sets, and I just keep thinking, God, help me some way to help them to get a building. I asked Brother Calderon, I said, how many people do you have there to actually start a service with? He said, well, I've got 20 people that live right there. But he said, I've got another little church group of people that is waiting on us to build that church. They want to come to church and with us, they think. He said, they don't know who we are, but he said, we'll get some of them probably. And then he said, I've got people in Guerrero that are moving to Comahone. He said, we probably have 35 or 40 people just as soon as we can get in under a roof. So I said, well, Lord, we can't sit around and not do anything with that, you know. And so, thank y'all, because that encourages me that we can not just put a roof on it, we get the floor and the doors and the windows in. Brother Calderon will be dancing all the way to Comahone. Yes. I say? Oh, yeah. Well, one, we bought fans. Did we put them up? We didn't buy the other three. We went back and got them, though. Who was with me when we went and got them fans? Brother Jerry, where are them fans at? All right, those are like 48 or 52 inch fans, aren't they? They're nice fans. Oh, you mean for the other ones? You've already put the new ones up? Oh, okay. But there was one in the box and two that was taken out, right? We still have the one in the box? Okay, we took one back, and then we've got two ceiling fans with a light fixture. They're like 42-inch fans, aren't they? How big are they, Brother Mark? The ones we bought the second time are bigger. I know that. And I think the ones we bought were 48, Brother Jerry, maybe. They're bigger. Yeah, and they've got bigger light. Well, that's why we traded, because we needed bigger light fixtures. Because the ones that were on there just had a globe, and it would only hold like 260-watt light bulbs. So anyway, we've got two ceiling fans. It'd be good for a bedroom. If you want a bargain on one, well, let me know. If you don't, huh? All right, we'll announce one, and let me think about it when we be a good time to do it, and we'll announce a work day. We also need to get this red house back here fixed up, and that's what we can put. If we've still got those two fans and nobody wants them, I can put them in the bedrooms over there, huh? Okay, did you get it? Where's it at, brother? In the gym? Yeah, you did pay for one. Yes, I'll get it out for you. All right, so it's in the gym, brother Brett Meininger. Okay. I need a couple guys to help Brother Weininger. He's got the rest of the tile for the gym in his van. Right after church, could two or three of you get it out of there and put it in the gym for me? Who would raise your hand to do that for me? Brother Caleb and Brother Mark and Brother Brett. Brother, yeah, that's plenty. All right, yeah, if y'all will probably grab a box apiece. I can't remember how much we bought, but it's like four boxes or so. Is that what it is, Brother Weininger? Six boxes? Some of them are big enough to get two boxes. All right. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, let's all stand. Yes. I was thinking about her job today. I thought, you know, God's a big God. I thought, here are these other two people. I hope neither one of them are asking God to give it to them. That's making God, that's a hard job for God, isn't it? I said, maybe both of them are, you know, ungodly, and the Lord want her to have it. I want her to have it because I want her to not have to miss church to, you know. But I'm trusting God to give her what he wants her to have, and if this is in his will, I'm asking the Lord to give her this job, if that'll fit in his will. And if it won't, then I know he's got something better for her. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, we love you and are appreciative for your goodness, your mercy. Oh, God, bless your people for their giving hearts. Oh, Lord, let your favor and your comfort rest over us. Help us, oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God, we love you, Lord, and are thankful for your goodness to us. Go with your people, lead and guide us this week, God, into your will. Give us direction. Help us, oh God. Touch these hearts of these visiting people. Bring them back, oh God. Let them feel something. God, let us find your people that you want to add to this kingdom. Help us, oh God, to be good stewards. Amen, amen. All right. Shake hands and be friendly. God bless your hearts. I think the rain went just north of us, so I think it missed us. We could use some rain, but we don't need any storms.